All right, we're rolling.
Oh, we are. Yep. Dr. Joe Vitale here with
Guitar Monk Matthew Dixon.
And we're going to be answering some questions that came in from a recent survey. I had surveyed my list, mostly subscribers that bought my book Zero Limits or the follow-up at Zero. And you also sent the survey out to your list, Matthew, to people who bought some of our music.
Our music, yeah.
And then we looked at all of the questions, and what we're doing now is answering them, because these questions came out of a survey where people who were already familiar with the basics of Ho'oponopono still had some problem areas, still had some confusion, still felt like there were some unknown issues they wanted to handle. And so what we're going to do is answer them live in the Zero Limits studio.
Yes.
In Texas on a hot and humid day.
Which is, you might even hear the ceiling fan is on.
Yeah, and that's for our comfort. But yeah. If you hear a little whirling noise up in the ceiling here, it sounds like it's out of your ear range. It's us being comfortable so that we can answer these questions with some clarity. So you made some notes. Do you have a first question that's there that we can wrestle?
Probably one of the most popular is the whole concept behind taking 100% responsibility.
So you want to start at the deep end. Weren't there any easy questions? 100% responsibility. That is the one that I've noticed that most people don't want to accept at all. They don't want to take 100% responsibility.
Of course not.
And of course not is the way to look at it. Who does? But that's the whole point, I think, of Ho'oponopono, and I think that's what separates it from everything else that's out there. It's really showing you that the point of power in your life is yourself. If you do think it's other people, then you've thrown your power to other people. And Ho'oponopono was pointing out that it's your perceptions that are creating your reality. And so where are your perceptions? Your perceptions are in your consciousness. They're in your mind. They're not in somebody else's consciousness. They're not in somebody else's mind. They're in yours. And what Dr. Hulin always taught me is that in order to correct problems, which is the technique of Ho'oponopono, is to correct your perception, what you want to do is clean on your perceptions. And cleaning, of course, means saying, at least one way to do it is by saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And what you're doing is cleaning your perceptions. You're not cleaning somebody else. You're not cleaning their perceptions. You're not cleaning their life experience. You're taking 100% responsibility for what you see, what you experience. If it's in your life awareness, then you are responsible for what's in your life awareness, because it's taking place internally. It's taking place inside of you. It's not taking place inside of anybody else. In fact, right now as we're recording, your puppy is walking around my feet and sniffing around. Well, I have to take responsibility for this dog being here because he's in my awareness. He wasn't in anybody else's awareness until I just said it. Now it's in there, the listener's head. But I have to take responsibility. If I didn't like it, it's not a matter of me saying bad dog. It's a matter of me looking within myself and going, why am I judging it as being inappropriate or bad in any way, shape, or form? So it's a big concept for people to get, but it is the cornerstone of Ho'oponopono. And in fact, let me say one more thing before I turn the gavel over to you. When I was first learning Ho'oponopono, and I was trying to understand all of these intricate details like full responsibility, I remember Dr. Hulin asking me, he says, did you ever hear the phrase, you create your own reality? And I kind of chuckled because I thought, yeah, I say it, I write it, I teach it, you create your own reality. But he went on to say that, well, if you create your own reality, then whatever shows up in your experience is a reality you participated in creating. So in other words, for most people, they draw a line around themselves and say, well, I created my reality, but I didn't create your reality. What Ho'oponopono points out is, if anything is in your life experience, family members, neighbors, whatever, employees, employer, and you're saying you don't like it, your perception is the only thing that's being activated right there. And where is your perception? In you. So you're taking 100% responsibility for your reality, and your reality is within your consciousness. And how do you change it? I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And all the other techniques we talk about.
Right. I find that for a lot of people, the difficulty is, I think there's a certain amount of guilt or not wanting to take responsibility for things that we look at tragedies or things that we perceive as tragedies. And it would be, why would anything in me, why would I want that to happen? And now you're seeing it, and it's difficult to accept, to say, well, that's inside of me. So there's a certain amount of guilt that builds up there that shouldn't be there, because there's no blame.
Right.
There's no blame, because it's all coming from memory and data. And we don't have the control over the memory and data. We have a sense of control of where we work on cleaning memory and data, trying to transmutate it and get ourselves clear so we go back to zero. But it's not your fault.
Yeah. That's the big way, is to understand that it's not your fault. There was a therapist in Houston decades ago. I used to see his commercial on television, and I didn't know who he was. I don't know where he's gone. But that one line that he always said was, your problem is not your fault, but it is your responsibility. That's such a clarifying genius of a statement.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing here. Whatever you're perceiving, it's not your fault. You didn't consciously do anything or attract anything that was negative. So you're not to beat yourself up. You're not to feel guilty about it. You're not to blame yourself about it. That's where people really get caught up. And the thing to do with that is to actually clean on it. Because if you think that you're responsible for other people, well, then you're not taking the responsibility for your perception, which is what you want to clean on. Your perception of other people, your perception of what you think is going on in the world. You didn't consciously do anything, and that's such an important thing. I think it's in Zero Limits, but it's probably in At Zero, where Dr. Hulin often said that your conscious mind, which is the one most of us spend our time running in circles listening to, because it's the monkey of our mind, the conscious mind only sees about 7 bits of information in any second. And recent research says you only see about 4 bits of information in any second. But actually in any second, there's 14 billion with a B. Bits of information in any second. So whatever's going on in the world, you're not consciously aware of it, so you're not consciously doing it. It's taking place on the unconscious, which is where the data is, the memories are, the beliefs, the paradigm, the program, which is what you're cleaning on.
Right. Everything that's inside. All right. Well, let me look at the cheat sheet.
Yeah, look at our cheat sheet from the survey responses.
Kind of lead these ideas.
I thought you'd have some blueberries or strawberries in your room to help clean. You know, that's one of those advanced techniques. Or M&Ms. Dr. Hulin always liked having M&Ms in the room. Supposedly that helped clean.
I think the next thing for a lot of people, too, is trusting and having faith that it will work. That's a big part of it. Because, you know, it's a lot to take in, even just, you know, just coming off the 100% responsibility, which is kind of the starting point. And now you have to trust that it's going to work and that it's going to happen.
I think for me, I go deeper than the question. I understand the question that people put on the survey that we saw that that's stemming from, about trusting and having faith. But the deeper thing is, why would we not trust? Why would we not have faith?
And that's what we should clean on.
And that's what we want to clean on is exactly the point. Because if we're not trusting this process, whether it's the life process or Ho'oponopono, and we're not having faith that we're being taken care of or we're being protected or it's all going to work out or it's all working out right now in its own divine way, then why not? What beliefs are there? Because there are probably beliefs along the lines of, this could all be superstition. This may not actually work for me. What if the world is actually stacked up against me? What if it works for everybody else but not me? What if my beliefs are so bad that I'm actually going to drive into a ditch or shoot myself in the foot and this isn't going to pay off for me? Those obviously are all negative, limiting beliefs and have nothing to do with the divine consciousness that Ho'oponopono is pointing to and coming from. So when people are saying that they have an issue with trusting or having faith, I think that's the issue to clean on. That's the very thing. Instead of saying, how do I have faith or how do I trust? You would rather say, okay, I'm having an issue with trusting and having faith. I'm going to feel it within myself and I'm going to say to my connection to my higher power, divine, God, whatever you want to call it, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I guess at this point, I want to point out, when you're saying those phrases, they're kind of a shorthand for something bigger. When I say I'm sorry, it's like, I'm sorry for being unaware of my beliefs. Please forgive me or my ancestors for any of the program, the data, the limiting paradigm that I inherited, that they inherited. Thank you for cleaning this limiting belief, cleaning the data and the lack of faith or whatever the beliefs are around not trusting. And I love you for taking care of my life. I love you for my life. I love you for cleaning and clearing me. So I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. In my mind, is kind of a shorthand version of a longer process that I've explained a little bit here. Does that make sense to you? Do you think I've said it, or do you have something to add?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I know, too, I think we should maybe address the idea of, you know, if you are in a bad place, you know, if it's health reasons or possibly financial reasons, sometimes that's the hardest time to actually believe in something and take the time to do it. You know, it's kind of getting the motivation and the energy to do it. And I think exactly what you're saying is just, I mean, you just have to do it.
And that's the time to do it.
And that is the time to do
it. I have found that, and a lot of people had asked the question I see on your cheat sheet about not getting results or not seeing results. I have found that when you are in the quicksand, so to speak, that is the time to be doing Ho'oponopono. Because when you are feeling is really a secret here, or a key to unlocking the process. When you're feeling the frustration, the anger, the shame, the confusion, the impatience, when you're feeling that negative energy and you do Ho'oponopono, you actually speed up getting results. It's one thing to say Ho'oponopono night and day, which I basically do after 10 or 11 years. So for me, it's the background in my brain. Instead of the old self-talk that was negative, the new self-talk is, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. So it's going through life like the street sweepers that come out at 3 in the morning cleaning our roads to make sure my life is okay. But in those moments when there's something that derails me, or I have some worry or confusion, or like you were just talking about, somebody has a financial issue, a health issue, whatever right. It happens to be. In that moment, when they're really feeling the intensity, that's the time to do the Ho'oponopono, because it seems like it works faster, and you see results faster in that moment.
Right. I think it's because our consciousness is aware of a specific issue. So when you're having...
You can focus.
You're focused more on it. And as it subsides, as you clean and it does subside, it's much more noticeable versus, like you said, the street sweepers. You wake up in the morning, the road is clean.
Yeah, and I didn't know it was dirty.
You didn't see it happen, you didn't know it was dirty.
Right.
And so that's great to have. We need that. Mm-hmm. But when the big boulder is right in front of us,
right,
or we're trying to hold the boulder and we can feel the weight, it's nice to feel it decrease. And that is one of the big things I think helps also with the faith idea is when it does work.
Yeah. And the other thing about not seeing results, which is, again, something that people asked about, and it's on your cheat sheet over there, I can see on your screen. And it's the idea that if I handed you a pumpkin seed or an apple seed or a mustard seed and said, go and plant this in your garden, go plant this in your backyard and make sure you water it and make sure it gets some sunlight and put a sun lamp if need be, you would go out every day and you would say, nothing's happening. You go out the next day and you'd say, nothing's happening. And you'd probably do that for weeks to months and you would say, nothing's happening. I did exactly what you said. I took the seed, I planted the seed, I put water on the seed, and I go out and pray over that seed and there's no tree there yet. Does that mean nothing's happening? Well, we all know that's not true at all, because beneath what we can see, the seed is actually opening up. It's sprouting. It's gathering its nutrients, and it's starting to come up through the surface, which at some point, depending on how long it takes for a seed to turn into an apple tree, I don't know, I don't garden or plant them, depending on how long it would take, you would feel like nothing's happening. And I think that's the case with Ho'oponopono. Dr. Hulen once told, I think it was at one of the Zero Limits audiences, we did 3 seminars together, as you know, because you were in... Were you in all of them, or
no? Just the one.
The one.
Number 3.
Yeah, number 3 was the best, in my opinion. They were all great, but I think number 3, we were all in the pocket, so to speak. We were all in the flow, and we were all channeling what needed to be said, and so everybody was changed. But all 3 of them were powerful, and Dr. Hulen had really said that if we knew how much was being changed and done as we did cleaning, we would never stop cleaning.
Right.
but we're not consciously aware of it, much like when you or I plant the seed, we're not consciously aware of what's going on there.
Right.
We can't see it. We have to trust. We have to have faith. And at some point, we'll see results.
Right. Actually, I have a little story from Zero Limits 3.
Cool.
That I'd like to tell them about not knowing, you know, what's happening in your cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Zero Limits 3, I think I had been practicing Ho'oponopono for about, I think about 2 years. And it was still very new. I had lots of questions. I definitely had not taken that leap of faith yet.
Hmm.
It wasn't that I didn't think it was working, because I was seeing signs, but I just wasn't sure. Hey, am I doing it right? You know, all the,
right. All those questions.
All those questions that we all have at first. So at the event, I asked a question to Dr. Hulin, and he did not answer my question. Rather, he told me, instead of what I wanted to hear, he told me what I needed to hear.
Oh, that's so good. Instead of, say that again, instead of telling you what...
What I wanted to hear,
he told me what
I needed to hear.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, what did
and
he
so,
say?
And basically my question was, is it possible to get to zero?
Hmm.
I wasn't sure if you could actually even get to zero, and we can talk about that later, because there is an answer to that. Okay. I didn't need that answer at the moment, evidently.
Right.
So instead, he just told me, and he said, well, evidently a lot of people thought it was going to rain today, and it didn't. So somebody's cleaning.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't sound like much of an answer to, can we get to zero? And probably to nobody else in the room did
right.
it really matter. It hit me so hard, because what no one knew was that my wife, who works for Big Brothers Big Sisters, was putting on a first-time huge event. It had been raining crazy all week long. She wasn't sure if she was going to have to cancel. She was upset about it. And every time she brought it up, and I could see she was upset, I would clean.
Mm.
And that's all I was doing all week long. And sure enough, the day of that event, it did not rain.
Wow.
It rained the next day. It rained the day before, but it did not rain.
That day, wow.
And when he said that to me, it was like, I thought he had magical powers.
Right. Yeah, right.
I was like, how did you know that? And on break, I had to go to him and I asked him. I said, when you answered that question and talked about the rain, did you know that I had been cleaning on the rain for this? And he said, no, I didn't know that at all.
Wow.
So that was just, I mean, and I think that's an example of how clear he is.
Yes.
Because he is cleaning so much that
right.
Divine went right through and told me what I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm. And he did it obediently. In other words, he didn't have a filter that said, boy, that'd be a dumb thing to say to talk about the rain.
Not for a second. He just said it for a second. Yeah.
And he said it, and it was appropriate. Who knows if that mattered to anybody else in that room. There was a lot of people there.
Right.
But it mattered to you, and it still stuck with you. And now you're sharing it, so it matters to other people that are listening.
And that was the moment. That was the the oh, shit moment. That was where the light switch flipped. I was like, sign me up. I'm in. It was like as if everything had changed.
Yeah.
And it was that one, that was the push I needed.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, as you're doing the cleaning, you have no idea what's being
actually
cleaned.
Happening.
And even though I was cleaning on her issue with the rain, and I wasn't even looking for the outcome of no rain, I just, every time the emotion came up and I could see her upset, I would just clean. I would clean was within me.
Nice.
So I didn't know if it was working. Don't get to know until the day comes and it's not raining. And
well, I like that you were focusing on what you perceived was her emotional upset. You weren't focusing on, please God, don't make it rain on Saturday.
Right.
This is a distinction that I think is really important, because what we really want to be doing is focusing on our peace, not focusing on a product, not focusing on a particular result. Because if we're really coming from trust and we're really coming from faith, then we're really going to be coming from a sense of believing that the universe will give the most divine outcome out of it. And so I think there was a purity in what you were doing, in the sense that you weren't trying to make it rain or not rain. You were just seeing your wife upset. And of course, how did you see that? You perceived it inside of you. And then you clean on what's inside of you, which is your perception of your wife upset.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't want to make this complicated, but what I'm seeing here is the simplicity of the reality of, as you found peace, you actually influenced the universe. It didn't rain that day.
Right.
And old Dr. Lin is sitting there. He has no clue why he's even saying what he's saying. But because he could be at zero, who knows if he's at zero or near zero or visiting zero, I don't really know. But in that moment, it seemed like inspiration told him what to say.
Right.
He said it.
And I think that also leads, I got to look back here at the cheat sheet. I'm the only one who can't see it because it's behind me. There's a lot of questions about healing for others.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
And this is a prime example of, in a way, I was kind of healing for her, but really, as we talked about in the beginning, my perception, the reflection from within me is what I'm seeing of her.
Yes.
And so it's my peace that brought peace, and that's how you have to approach it.
Yeah, and I have, of course, my own experience with my mother going into intensive care emergency room 6 years ago, and everybody, the whole family being called in. You know, I live in Texas, as you know, and the whole family's up in Ohio. And we're all called in because it looks like the end of times for her. And I go there, and she's in intensive care. I mean, this is acute intensive care, emergency room care. There's five other people in the rooms that are around her, and three of them died while I was there. This is how intense it is. And I see her in her dying bed there, and I'm seeing her with my family. And I'm everything from angry to grieving to confused to helpless to, I don't know, impatient. There's all kind of emotions mixed up and stirring within me. I'm not a medical doctor, so I couldn't make suggestions, couldn't talk to the doctor or the nurse in any way to give them any advice at all. So I'm left to do only one thing, heal me. And the only way I know to heal me is to find my peace within. And so I sat down in a chair in the bed beside her, and I started doing Ho'oponopono. And what am I doing it on? I'm doing it on what I'm feeling within myself that I'm perceiving being triggered by my mother in her bed. And so I'm doing it on my feelings. And as I'm doing it, I'm saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I'm doing it intensely. I'm doing it because the emotions are there and my mother is there and the moment is there. This is very real for me. And I get to the place where I'm pretty much at peace. I confess I am not at that moment totally at peace. I am disturbed. This is my mother in this emergency room, intensive care, deathbed. And so I'm not at peace. But we are there until they tell us we have to leave. We leave. The next day we go back and she's better. And in fact, she's released and she goes home and she spends the next 6 years in the house with my father. And I end up visiting on a regular basis and seeing this woman who eventually she did pass away. She passed away in March of this year, 2016, as we make this. Eventually she passed away. But in my mind, I got six more years with my mother, which was a lot of time for me to make peace, a lot of time for me to say I love you and goodbye to her and have those little conversations. And I truly contributed to doing Ho'oponopono. But the Ho'oponopono wasn't healing her. It was healing me.
Right.
And that's the distinction that I don't know that everybody gets, because they want to heal the other person. And again, if you're taking 100% responsibility and you understand the more advanced, deeper layers of this, what you're really doing is healing your perceptions of the situation, whether it's another person or an environment or a deal of some sort. You're the one experiencing what's going on, and you're the one that's doing the healing, but what you're healing is yourself.
Right.
And when you do, you influence the outer, which might make it stop raining, or it might make your mother live for another 6 years, but you don't really have control over that. And that's part of why I say Ho'opono is in this surrender stage of awakening, where you're not giving up, but you're surrendering to a higher power, which some call God or the universe or Gaia or any number of things. And it is taking care of you and whatever you perceive to be the problem.
Right.
But that's, you know, I get chills every time I think about the story.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What's interesting is we've been talking, your screen went blank and all of the questions disappeared. And I thought that was such a metaphor because, you know, in seminars, Dr. Hulin always said, questions are bullshit. And he can be very gruff and very blunt like that. And I know, I think it was in the third one where it seemed like every time somebody asked a question, he said, the questions are coming from your mind. It's all bullshit. You know, you don't want to listen to the questions.
Yeah.
And so there's an element of that. I definitely understand where people come from with questions, because we both have them.
Well, even going back to the event, that all occurred in the first day. And then I realized that for the rest of the time, any question I had was just memory. Yeah. And if I had a question, I just needed to clean on it. I then also realized that everyone else who was asking questions, there was over 200 people in the room, every question that was coming through was what I needed to clean on, because the question was really coming from what was in me. You know, as an individual, as we see people, the people are perfect. What we're perceiving is data. And that data is taking the responsibility for that. It's within me. And so it was a long rest of the weekend, but it was fun.
Well, there's a couple of things you said that are worth mentioning so we can isolate some ideas and principles. One is, in every moment, you're either coming from memory or inspiration. And this is an important one, because 99.99999% of the time, we're coming from memory. And what is that? That is the pre-programmed beliefs, data, past experiences of ourselves and our ancestors that are already in our unconscious mind and the collective unconscious mind. So when we go through life in any particular moment, you say something, somebody does something, somebody pulls out, and our habitual brain reaction isn't coming from inspiration, more often than not, and dramatically more often than not, it triggers something that we already experienced or already heard or already believe. So it's coming from a memory. So when you said all these people were asking questions and you realized they were coming from memory, that was the only place those questions could come from.
That's right.
They were coming from their past experience, their past stories, their past data. And so Dr. Hulen would say something, and instead of it going into their heart as an inspired statement to take, it goes into their head, hits wiring that's already there, and then the software in their mind goes, I have a question, which is just a reaction to the memory. So where we want to come from is inspiration, which means getting to, and I think you were going to bring it up at one point about, do you get to zero or can you live from zero?
Right. And we could.
Do you want to take that now?
Yeah, sure. We can. Well, we could just break it down and we could talk about the three states of mind.
Go ahead.
You were already talking about two of them. Mm-hmm. And in the three states of mind, we have the state of zero, mm-hmm. which is completely pure. Next state is inspiration. Mm-hmm. And then the third state is the memory and data. And the problem is, and to answer my question that Dr. Hulen did not answer, can you get to zero? Yes, you do, but you can only be in any one of the three states at one time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be in more than one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So the instant that you get to zero, zero opens up the line of communication to
for
the divine.
For inspiration, yes.
And you almost instantaneously...
Yes.
Go into inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
totally
where we're
agreed.
In the flow,
yes.
And we are making decisions not based on what we think we should be doing. We're making them based on pure mm-hmm. divine inspiration. The problem is, most of the time, we get railroaded by the memory.
Yes.
It immediately comes in. So inspiration could give me an idea to create the next new app that's bigger than Pokemon Go, since that's what's real big right now and
right.
crashing servers everywhere. But in my mind, my memory might come through and just say, well, no, you don't know how to build that, or
yeah.
no, it wouldn't sell, or nobody mm-hmm. would like that, or
mm-hmm.
and that's where we get railroaded with that memory.
Yeah, that's a great example. And this is why we want to just keep cleaning. If there's anything in front of you or not, we're cleaning so that we can be at zero and receive inspiration.
Right.
I've often said, because I've talked about intentions, written about intentions. I was in the movie The Secret talking about intentions. Today I say intentions are for wimps. I'd much rather come from inspiration. But in order for me to come from inspiration, I have to clear myself so that I'm not actually going, hey, I want to come from inspiration, which is kind of a trigger of a memory. So it's really constant work. I mean, we were talking about the Tony Robbins movie that just came out as we're making this a few days ago.
I'm not your guru.
The movie is on Netflix. It's called Tony Robbins, I Am Not Your Guru. And he talks a lot in there about our operating system is the one that's out of our conscious awareness. And I remember early on, one of my favorite scenes is with this young woman. She's 19 years old, slender, attractive, but stands up, puts up her hands and says her problem is with her diet. And Tony goes with it for a few minutes until he actually digs deep enough to find out that the problem is actually with her father. And her relationship with her father, which is so far removed from what she raised her hand and said the problem was. And I think this is what's going on in all of us, is that we say it's our diet, or we say it's another person, or we say it's something else, not realizing that that's actually memory that's being reflected from this ball of energy. Actually, Dr. Hulen would talk about thought forms. And a ball of energy, this memory, in this case with this woman in the movie, she's actually remembering her relationship with her father, and it's kind of a love-hate relationship. And she has to actually clean it and make peace with it so that she can have any sort of healthy relationship with him. And then when she does, she has a healthier relationship with herself. But all of this are layers to what we're talking about. That, in again, what Dr. Hulen says, we always seem to come from memory. And so we have to keep cleaning to erase all those memories and get to a place that's, in my second book, was called At Zero, so we can get to that place to receive inspiration.
Yeah. I have a story. I've never told this story.
Not even to me?
No, I did tell it to you.
Okay.
You do know. Okay.
All right.
It's a long
time. Matter.
It's
I'm
a long
curious.
Time ago. I'm gonna leave some names out so that there's.
I'll add them. I don't know what you're gonna say. I'm kidding.
We will change the names to protect the innocent. I wrote a piece of music years ago, and I called it Zero Limits. It was inspired by the book Zero Limits, and it was inspired by Ho'oponopono. Mm. When I wrote the song, I remember it came so easily, so quickly. I was actually on the phone with my mom shortly after I got done, and I said, man, I really think I'm getting this songwriting stuff down. This was really easy. Well, it was very inspired. And as I was writing the song and I finished the song, it came so quickly, I received a message that this song needed to be free.
Hmm.
Give this song away for free.
Hmm.
I didn't like that message. I wanted to sell the song.
See, that's our memory. Say, hey, I can profit from this. Let's go turn it into
So there was my inspiration comes through, and I get the message, hey, mister, go give this song away for free.
Mm.
Well, I didn't end up recording it. I'd been playing it for a while. I eventually got approached by someone who was creating a Ho'oponopono product, and they needed a song for Ho'oponopono. And I thought to myself, hey, I got a song already. How about this song? What do you think? They were ecstatic. They loved it. Absolutely loved it. I made $500 to give that person the right to use that song.
Oh.
In this, it was a DVD. And then when the DVD came out and I got my copy, the song wasn't on there. There was another song in its place that
really?
I had nothing to do with. And the song, I had writing credits for a song that I'd never written.
And you got paid.
And I got paid. But the universe said no. That's the way I had to look at it. I looked at it and I thought, wow. Even though I did try to profit from it the way I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I still got paid, which was great. But the song wasn't there. It was gone. And I still to this day don't know what the details were, why it happened. Everybody's happy. It was great. So I immediately after that point, I put the song up for free.
Ah.
I went, okay, sorry, I'll do it. And since then, I've been able to use the song. It actually, we've used it on a couple of albums.
Mm.
It's on Aligning to Zero and At Zero. No, At Zero.
And you say, is it still free out there?
Oh, and it's still free.
Did you know
If you go to ZeroLimitsMusic.com, there's a free section there, and there's a free download. You can get the song for free.
ZeroLimitsMusic.com. And you can still get it. Well, what a great story. You try to direct it with memory.
Yes.
You know, say, hey, I should profit from this. And then you actually get this invitation to put it on a DVD, and you get paid for it, but it's not on the DVD, and you still get credit for it, though, somehow. It's like a wonderful world. But, you know, you can't orchestrate stories like that. You can't consciously go and say, hey, I want you to pay me for my music, but I don't want you to actually use the music.
Right.
You know, you can't do that, but the universe can. And
it
you can go with it.
And I always think of it as a reminder to me that, you know, when I am feeling that inspired moment, something inspired, that I need to stay true to what was happening, the message I was receiving, and not start to twist it up into, well, memory says I should do this with it, or memory says, or don't do it, or whatever. You just, you got to be true to it. And there's this certain amount of trust there.
Well, speaking of trust, this story comes to mind for me, and I don't know if it's in either of my books, but I'm just going to go ahead with it. I've spent a lot of time with Dr. Hulen. You know, we led those three seminars together. We wrote Zero Limits together. We spoke on the phone. I did his workshops in California. He came to Wimberley, he came to my home, he stayed in the city. We went for dinners, we had lots of talks together. And I remember one time, we're sitting and we're having coffee. He always loved to have coffee. And he would often say, the divine wants me to have more coffee. And I'm thinking, is it the divine or is it a caffeine addiction? I don't know what it is, but we would go with it and sit down. And I always had questions. And there was one time we're sitting down, we're both having coffee. We're at this little table, there's a white tablecloth on it. And I ran out of questions. And I'm just sitting there. I'm sitting there and I'm kind of looking off in space a little bit. And my brain was not even working. My mind wasn't even working. You know, your mind's always working. Your mind's always got this chatter. People are listening to us right now, and they got this mind thing going on. And you're thinking about something right now. In the back of my mind, I got something going on right now. But in that moment with Dr. Houlin, I didn't. It was this really surreal, esoteric, almost like a moment of enlightenment. And I sat there totally at peace, totally quiet, no questions, no internal dialogue. And I noticed Dr. Houlin turned, and he's looking at me. And after a moment, he said, now you're getting it.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, memory kicked in. I was like, what am I getting? what did I get? What did I miss? Where was I? What's happening here?
Back to the data that fast.
And what I really suspect, and this is my mind trying to make sense of it at this point, but I think it's relevant and educational, is that in that moment, he was as close to at zero, if not at zero at that point, that I merged with that consciousness, that he was in that space. It's a little bit like when some people say they went to Buddha and they became enlightened just by being in his presence. You know, the stories of that kind of thing going on. I don't want to make Dr. Houlin out to be a Buddha. He's a human being. He's just like you and me. You've seen him, hung out with him, had dinner with him. And in fact, I once asked him, I said, these blue solar bottles that you're always talking about, I said, where do you get the blue bottles? And what we're talking about is a concept of cleaning, where you get a blue glass bottle, you put water in it, you set it in sunlight for an hour or two or all day long, and then you drink it and it helps cleanse you. And I asked Dr. Houlin, where do you get blue bottles? It seems like I don't know where to get those. And he says, many wine bottles are blue. And I remember thinking, he's more human than what I thought.
And you mean, he's not pouring the wine down the sink, just the bottle?
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think so. And so that's something that came to mind. And then the other story, if you don't mind me just jumping in and going with coming up for me, is you were mentioning earlier about it's not the other people, it's people that have programs. And so what I'm trying to explain is that in our inner relationship with people, we're all wired differently. We all have different programs. And so when we talk to people, it's almost like you're in a different reality and they're in a different reality. When I was on a radio show with Dr. Houlin, there was a call-in, and this guy who called in was very belligerent. He was very negative. He was very critical. He was pushy. He was somebody I wouldn't want to be on the phone with. But Dr. Houlin took the call, he handled the call, and we went to commercial. And during the commercial, I apologized to Dr. Houlin, and I said, man, I'm sorry, I didn't know the nature of the radio show, I didn't know who would be calling. And he so cleanly and so clearly said, it's not the person, it's the program.
Right.
And he didn't mean the radio program. He meant that we as individuals carry these programs that are activated in our lives. And when we see somebody and they seem to be belligerent, it's not the person being belligerent, it's the program that's within them that we're noticing. And then one more step into this, because we're going deep with this whole advanced Ho'oponopono conversation and answering these questions, is to realize that if you spot the program in them, you have it too.
Within you.
That's 100% responsibility again. And so what do? You don't clean on the other person. You clean on the program that you're perceiving within yourself.
Right.
That's been triggered or mirrored by the other person. And as you do that, you can heal the other person, the rest of the people on the planet, as well as yourself.
And not to plug myself here too much.
Yes. We already know about your music. What else do you
this
have?
This is what you just described right there was exactly my premise for a book that I wrote.
Yes,
called
great
Attracting
book.
For Others, which is also free. I received that as a didn't like that either. Would rather sell it. But
right.
Actually, it is on Amazon for I think you have to pay something for it to get on a Kindle. But the website is on the ZeroLimitsMusic.com website. You can download it for free. But getting back to the point, which is this book is based on using the law of attraction to attract for other people. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind that is premises you sit down and in your day-to-day basis, as you talk, you listen to what people are actually saying, what they want. Hmm. So now we're looking at desires coming from people.
Hmm.
And then later on, you focus on trying to attract for that. But the idea behind it is that what you're hearing from that person, since that's now in your consciousness, is really what you want too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the point of it. It's exactly like you just said.
I love it. It's like an advanced self-help method. You're a ninja for good at that point.
Right.
Because the people don't know that you're actually cleaning on their well-being. In reality, the deeper way of looking at this is that you're cleaning on your perception of their reality. But if we go to lunch and a waiter or waitress says one of their dreams is to open an animal clinic, and they have problems with money and they don't know how to do it, I wouldn't be offering advice unless I was inspired to. What I would be doing instead is what you wrote in your book, Attracting for Others, is I'd just kind of take mental note, see what I feel within myself about money, about deservingness, about animal hospitals, and I would clean on that. And as I'm cleaning on that, the universe is taking care of that shared program so that the waiter, waitress, whoever it was, can go ahead and have the money and their animal clinic.
Right.
So it's a great way to do it. I can see on your list from here how to remember to do Ho'oponopono was one of the first questions.
That is a huge one. A lot of people.
That's surprising to me because in the beginning, I just simply got yellow stickies and put them everywhere. Mm. You know, I got a yellow sticky and I put down the four phrases on it because at first I didn't have them memorized and would put them on my computer screen, put them on the refrigerator, put them on the bathroom mirror. And I mean, how many different places do I go? I put it on my dashboard, put it on the refrigerator, put it in the bathroom, put it in the bedroom, put it on the computer screen, and pretty much have covered everywhere I look on a regular basis. And that was my reminder every time I saw it. Oh, yeah, say I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Wow. So, and of course, today you can put reminders on your app. You can do timers to go off.
Right.
Every so often you can do it on your computer. You can do it on your iPhone, Android, whatever you happen to have.
Yeah. I was so bad in the beginning that I couldn't remember the four phrases.
Mm-hmm.
And I, much like you, I wrote them down. I used to carry it in my wallet so I could pull it out and look at it.
Right.
And I also remember, I remember the time that I spent 45 minutes saying the phrases over and over again. Specifically just trying to drill it into my head. And I spoke it out loud because I know that when you speak out loud and you hear your voice, it's easier to remember. I know this from, I've taught music for 30 years practically. And for instance, in playing, we teach to count out loud. So you get used to hearing your voice out loud. So then you can hear it internally as well.
Mm-hmm.
So out loud for 45 minutes straight. And what I did is, even to this day, and of course I know, and probably everybody already knows this, that you can say the phrases in any order you want.
That's a good point to remind them, yes.
And that's usually a question for beginners, is they're always, am I doing it in the right order?
Right.
and so for me, it's always been, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you. And that's the way I always say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and it helped it ingrain to where now you got that autopilot going on. It's in the back of the head just rolling, and I can hear it going.
Did you notice anything in the 45 minutes when you did it? Like, you
I know, did.
Did you walk on water or something?
But I definitely felt a huge vibrational change. Like, I just felt better.
And
that was all it took.
That's great.
So that was it. And as far as remembering to use it also, I've always used... someone's knocking at the door. It's probably my daughter.
This is real time.
Interrupting.
Yes. We're live in Zero Limits and we get visitors.
Hold on. I'm going to stop the tape for 1 second, then we'll pick right back up. Okay.
And we're back. What is your daughter's name?
Angelica.
And what do you call her for short?
Angel.
So we just had a visit by an angel.
There you go.
Isn't that cool? And I think it's cool for everybody listening. Is like, we're doing this real. It's uninterrupted, except you pause now to go see what she wanted. But I also thought, what a nice metaphor is that we had a knock on the door from an angel.
From an angel. Yeah. As I was saying, I use any time that somebody's going to start to talk to me, I immediately just start cleaning. In the beginning, I used to only do just say thank you, I love you, thank you, I love you, because I was having a hard time saying all four phrases and still listening to what the person was saying.
I see. Okay.
And I do this whether it doesn't have to be bad news or anything. It just needs to be someone, hey, I need to tell you something. I just start doing that. And that's one of my big reminders for doing that.
And that's a great thing. I do it all the time with everybody that's talking to me, whether they're talking to me because they need something or complaining about something, whatever it happens to be. And why am I doing it? Because I want to be as close to an inspired state as possible.
Exactly.
That way, if I'm in an inspired state, I can actually give something that might be more helpful than if I just kind of come from my own memory and just spout out whatever was there on my brain. It comes to mind even right now. This is an inspired thought that's coming in, that I did an interview with Vishen Lakami. I forget how to pronounce his last name.
Out of Singapore, right?
Out of Singapore with Mind Valley. And he has done hundreds of interviews with different people. And he interviewed me one night for his consciousness program. And I didn't know what he was going to ask. I had no questions in front of me. I had no answers written down. And it was late at night. It was over Skype. So he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. And he asked questions and I'm answering. The week or so later, he told me that that was the highest rated interview of hundreds that he had ever done in his entire life. He said that there were 500 five-star reviews for that interview.
Wow.
And I asked him, because I didn't know that it was any different than anything else. I didn't know that it was any better than anything else. I said, what was different than all your other ones? And he said, you came from an inspired state. You had no notes and everybody knew it. And you just spoke from the heart and everybody felt it. And I think that's why I do the cleaning when I'm talking to anybody. And I also do it when, you know, doing it now. And we turn on the recorder. We had our little cheat sheet of what the questions were, but we didn't write down answers. We didn't write down our stories. We know each other well enough that some of them would be familiar. Right. But some of the things you said and some of the things I said were completely surprised. And even with the knock on the door, you know, you just go with it. Because that's what you do when you're coming from inspiration.
Right. No pre-planning.
No pre-planning. And I see that there's at least, this might be the last question, but it was about how to not just say the phrases, but to feel them.
Feel the phrases, yeah.
I call it activating Ho'oponopono. Because it's one thing to say the phrases, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, say thank you. You can just say them. And in the early days, Dr. Hulen would just say, you don't have to feel it, just say it. And that confused me for a while until I, in my own mind, this is what I figured out, is that once you start to say them, eventually you'll start to feel them. You'll move into that. But what I've also found is you can intentionally, we'll say consciously, activate Ho'oponopono. Because when you say, I love you, it's one phrase, I love you. But if you say it and feel it, like you conjure up a feeling of love, I love you. Or you're thinking of the divine and you're going, oh, thank you for my life. I so am grateful. I so love you. That feeling activates what was already there. The Ho'oponopono has probably got to work when you just say the phrases, say them in any order. I even think you can say the shorthand version, much like you were doing. But you can even just say, I love you.
Right.
And if you just focused on love, and I love you, you're going to up your vibration. You're going to change your state of mind and you're going to have a better road through life. But for me, activating Ho'oponopono is actually consciously feeling the statements when you say them.
Right. I also, especially in the beginning, starting out, this is kind of tapping back to remembering when to use it and reminding yourself. When you feel emotion,
yeah,
especially if it's something that upsets you,
right?
Oh, that's the moment right there. It's an instant trigger. Clean. That's what you clean on. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Hulen would tell a story that he goes for his walk and he walks. I guess there's a lot of trees on his walk wherever he is, and he's touching. And he says, and someone will come around the corner or driving too fast and almost hit him, and he'll yell, "Asshole!" And then right as he does it, he'll think to himself, "Oops."
Yeah.
Got to clean
all that. That's exactly right. Well, it's an example of him being human. It's also an example of you use everything in life as the opportunity to clean,
right,
and an opportunity to heal and an opportunity to awaken. And what are the great opportunities? The ones that you really are complaining about. The ones that really feel like, man, I wish that didn't happen, or I wish I wasn't feeling this way. That's the trigger. to remind us to do, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, again, in any order, with feeling. I tend to say them inside myself, and I probably would do that all the time unless I was by myself. Maybe I would, like you did in that one instance, say it out loud. But as a reminder, I'm saying the phrases internally. I'm not saying them to another person. I'm doing my best to feel whatever I am feeling in the moment, meaning if there's an emotion of some sort, I want to stay with that emotion. And I want to feel these statements. I love you. I want to feel it and not just say the words. And I'm addressing what I will call the divine. I'm addressing my understanding of what the divine is. And I understand that's going to be different for people, and you may call it something different. There's supposedly 99 names for God, but I'm talking about something along those lines. Whatever your relationship is to a higher power, a greater consciousness, in my book, The Secret Prayer, I called it the great something, the great something. So I'm addressing Ho'oponopono to the great something as a kind of a prayer, as a kind of petition to say, please help me in this situation by helping me with my perception, helping me with my feelings, knowing that if it takes care of that, if I can dilute that, then the universe can inspire me at that point to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to go in the right direction.
And that's what it's all about.
And that's exactly, that's exactly what it's all about.
What we're shooting for. That is the, can you get to zero?
Yes. You know? Yes.
We really don't want to hang out in zero. We want to hang out in inspiration.
I love inspiration. I absolutely love inspiration. Inspired music, inspired speaking, inspired writing, words, life. That's where the gusto is. That's where the juice is.
Well, and the thing about being inspired is that inspiration, when we are following divine inspiration, we are actually acting out our role in the symphony of the universe. We are doing the thing we're supposed to be doing. So not only does everything flow better for us, it flows better for everyone and everything.
Yeah. And again, I have another image in my mind, and I think it was the third Zero Limits, where somebody in the audience said life was like this grand panoramic painting that just went on into infinity, whatever the word is, and that it was already pre-painted. But I remember Dr. Hulan, he was sitting over in the side, he just suddenly stood up and said, and as you clean, you change the painting. And I went, holy smokes. It's not predetermined. It's not fate. There is an inclination to go in a certain direction in life because of our memories. Mm-hmm. They're already set up, and our belief systems are causing us to go in a certain direction, which looks like it's predetermined. It looks like you have no free will. But by doing the Ho'oponopono, you change the painting. You change the world. You change your life.
Yeah.
And so I always thought that was a remarkable image for people to have.
It's a good way to think about it.
Well, what do you think? Are there other questions? Or
you know, actually, I was just inspired for a question that was not on the survey. It was not addressed.
Uh-oh.
But I get addressed with it quite often, especially I have my Ho'oponopono group on Facebook.
Yes.
The Ho'oponopono cleaning group.
On Facebook, okay.
And the big one is going to cleaning tools.
Mm.
And a lot of people have a lot of issues with the cleaning tools because it's like we were talking about earlier, M&Ms and...
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always love having the M&Ms here. The one thing I want to say, especially when it comes to cleaning tools as food, is that you don't have to eat them.
Yeah.
And that's the part, you know, right away people are like, no, what? Vanilla ice cream's a cleaning tool? Fantastic.
Bring it on.
I'll put some M&Ms in there too.
Strawberries, blueberries, yeah, let's really do some cleaning.
And that I think what needs to also be understood is that when we look at the cleaning tools, sometimes they just seem silly almost. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll admit it. You know, it's like, okay, ginger snaps. Why? Where is it coming from? Why? Mm-hmm. And of course, they're always changing. And sometimes you do see something and you know it's a cleaning tool.
Well, you did that. I want to interrupt you because I have some guitars. Just like in your studio, there's all kind of beautiful guitars. I have this classical guitar made by Linda Manzer. And it's called Marilyn. And it's an absolutely beautiful, stunning, high-end luxury guitar, investment-grade kind of guitar that sounds like angels when you just strum it. And I remember when I showed it to you, you looked at it, and you were so inspired. You were so clear. You just said, it's a cleaning tool.
Yeah. I remember. I could just see it.
It's a cleaning tool. And I'm like, I didn't know it was a cleaning tool, but it came to you as that. My other example is I showed Dr. Hulin a business card I made, and it was me standing beside one of my cars, the car that's a 2005 Panos Esperante, and its nickname is Francine. I showed the picture to Dr. Hulin, and he looked at it, and he says, you know, this business card, it's a cleaning tool. And I put it in, there's a copy of it in Zero Limits.
Yeah, I remember.
When people read it, they can see that because of that great story. So where do the cleaning tools come from? I think it's from inspiration. And just like you were inspired in that moment with the Marilyn guitar, the Linda Manzer guitar, Dr. Hulin was inspired with the business card with Francine on it. And whoever came before who said M&Ms were cleaning tools. And I have to admit, you know, when I first met Dr. Hulin during those first few years, I was in Body for Life fitness contest, and my diet was intentionally restrictive. And M&Ms were appalling to me. They were not in my life experience. They were not allowed. They were the devil.
Yeah.
And here he is. I went to his seminar, that very first one in Calabasas, California. And he had a bowl of M&Ms on the table. And he's encouraging people to eat them. And what's triggered in my head was not inspiration. Right. What was triggered in my head was all the memory of all the data about what's bad for me, what's good for me, what I can eat, what I can't eat. And M&Ms, it was disgusting. I could not get past that. And then, you know, over time when Dr. Hulin came to Wimberley, where I live, you know, the little city. And it's on a Monday night, and I knew it was about time to feed him something. But on Mondays in Wimberley, it's a tourist town. Mondays, they're closed for the most part. But there was one restaurant that was open, Burger Barn. And I remember thinking, I never went to Burger Barn. I'm never going to go to Burger Barn. I don't eat those burgers. I don't eat greasy food. I don't eat bad food. I don't eat unhealthy food. But it was the only place close. And I told Dr. Hulin, I said, unless we drive off to Austin or San Antonio, which we can do, the closest thing is a place called Burger Barn. And he lit up and says, oh, I love a good burger. And I remember thinking, how can you love a burger? But I took him there. I took him there. He ordered a chili dog and a double cheeseburger. And I haven't had a chili dog in, you know, 20 years. And I did eat a burger with him. But I asked him how he can clean it or how he can eat it. Mm-hmm. And what I remember is he said, it's not the burger, it's your perception of the burger.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I clean on my food before I eat it, and it's healthy for me. And he ate it with as much relish as you would eat anything. And he liked it so much, he went looking for the chef, which is a, you know, a short order cook that nobody looks for. In the back of the restaurant, and he actually thanked him for the best burger he ever had in his life. But this was an example of these people are saying they're cleaning tools, and I'm wrestling with it, but why am I wrestling with it? My data.
Your data, yeah.
My memories, my beliefs, my judgments.
And that's what you clean on.
And as I clean on it, it's like, well, I can take or leave a burger now. I can take or leave M&Ms now. And I also know, as you were pointing out, you don't actually have to eat the things.
Right.
You know, if you really do feel M&Ms are bad for you, you know, you don't have to eat it at all. Or you can just smell it, or you can just lick it, or you can just look at a photo of it.
That's right.
And actually get the benefit of it.
Because you don't have to have a whole bag. You could have just one single M&M's.
Man, but who in the entire history of the world has only eaten one single M&M out of a bag and put it back?
How long do you think that would last sitting on the counter?
Not long at all. Anyway.
But yeah, so I know that's a big question for a lot of people, and yeah, it's more about the energy of what's coming from it,
mm-hmm.
and that's the breakdown of everything that's in our conscious existence. We know is energy,
mm-hmm.
all the way down to the chair we're sitting on, the floor, to the ground, and it's all within us. So,
and I guess for me, and I don't know about you, I want to hear about what you think here in a second, but for me, I think as an ending comment,
mm-hmm.
for my ending comment, I want to point out that Ho'oponopono is a tool.
Right.
It's not the be-all and it's not the end-all. It's actually a tool to help us get to what I call the fourth stage of awakening, which is enlightenment itself. So it's a tool to help us delete the interference between us and the purity of, and the divinity of this moment.
Right.
So I think, and I was caught up in this, when we start to believe that the Ho'oponopono is the only thing you have to do and you should do that for the rest of your life, I think that that's kind of a programming, kind of a data directed or colored view of the world. It's just a tool. It's just like being in first grade, and eventually you want to go to second, third, and high school and graduate and go on with life. It's a tool. It's a way to get to grace. It's a way to clean ourselves so we can get to that state of awakening. It's not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, and I think that brings up a really good point, because I know that for a lot of people and on the survey, and I was this way too, I think everybody is, you assume that there's more. It's like, okay, you told me this much in the book, but there's got to be more. I didn't get to go to the seminar and get the secret part of it. You know, what is the more? What is the more? Truth is, there is more, but that more is going to come as you use the tool. This is just, put this in the bag, let's do this, and let's move on, and let's find out where inspiration comes from. But there is no secret more.
Yeah, and I was a guy who was in the movie The Secret, so I like to say, yeah, there's more secrets. We'll release them over time.
Right.
But that's beautiful. I really do believe that the moment is the secret, just being in the moment, and so few of us are. And why aren't we? Because of memory.
Right.
Memory. We want to be in the moment. One way to get there is Ho'oponopono. So for me, I'm grateful for everybody that took the survey. Thank you for all your questions. Thank you for doing Ho'oponopono, because you're not just helping yourself, you're helping all of us. Dr. Hulan always said that when you clean yourself, you're cleaning for humanity. You're cleaning for the planet itself. So that's an intense gift that we're each giving to each other.
Right.
So I'm very grateful, and I just want to say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. I thought maybe you had something to add.
I didn't know where you were leading with that. You just
like, take the ball.
Are we saying goodbye?
Yeah,
are we going to hang it up? We're going
to
get some lunch?
I can keep talking to these people forever. I would love to get some lunch.
That sounds good.
Let's go. Do you have an ending comment or something, though? I'm just
I don't think I could put it any better than you just did. So that's it. So I'm going to wish everybody peace, love, and music. I'm Guitar Monk Matthew Dixon. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this.
And what's the website you want to direct people to? I'll give one and you can give one.
ZeroLimitsMusic.com. And that has all of our music, our meditations, free music, free book. So there's definitely a reason to go there.
And I guess I should give ZeroLimits.info, because I think everything related to the Zero Limits seminars, the Zero Limits book, and At Zero are all listed there. Okay. So probably that'd be the resource, zerolimits.info.
All right.
Over and out.
Let's go get lunch.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.